Rebbe Osei, good morning, good morning. I am sorry that I'm not with you in person, but at least Baruch Hashem, it is a great source to be with you virtually. We have an incredible, incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Ayin Aleph 71. And we are picking up Emir Hashem on the bottom of Ayin Amud Beis 70b. And we left off Amr Bechia. Amr Bechia, so literally again, last two lines of 70b. So remember again, we're in the midst of a very interesting dispute. The Mishnah seemed to indicate, not seemed to, the Mishnah said that the prohibition of ribis only applies between Jews. But if one is involved in a transaction with a non-Jew, then there is no prohibition of ribis. Yet Rav Nachman came along and said that one really shouldn't even charge ribis to a non-Jew. So we're trying to work through that a little bit and try to understand what's unfolding over here. Amar Rav Chiya Barei Rav Huna, no nitzucha ela, top of Ayin Aleph 71a, bichdei chayev. So this is very interesting. So Rav Chiya Barei Rav Huna wants to make the following distinction, that halacha lemaisa, when are you allowed to go ahead and charge interest for a non-Jew? For the amount of money that you need in order to sustain yourself. Look at the top Rashi on 71a, bichdei chayov, hitiru lo, v'yosem ikan asr midirabonon vilma asi lemisra. So we'll get to that last part in just a moment, but Rav Chiya Barei Rav Huna, wanted to make the following distinction, that essentially, one is allowed to charge interest to a non-Jew up until the amount that one needs in order to be able to sustain themselves for their parnasa, but above and beyond that, I guess what we would call profit, revach. So then one should not go ahead and charge interest even to a non-Jew. Ravina says, no, two different cases. One is talking about charging ribis. One is talking about where the lender is just a regular Jew, and one is talking about when he's a Talmud Chacham. What's the distinction? This is incredible. Time of Michael's Rabbanon. Why is it that the rabbis would say that you can't go ahead and charge interest to a non-Jew? In other words, like if you think about it, it's counterintuitive. The fact that you can't charge interest in and of itself is fascinating and somewhat counterintuitive. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when we lend money to each other, it has to be an act of chesed and not an act of profit. So I understand Jew to Jew, but why would there be any kind of prohibition to charge interest to a non-Jew? What's the pshat with that? So this is incredible. So the Gemara says, Shema Yomo Mimasov. The concern is that maybe through enhanced interaction with the Jews, since interest accrues, it prolongs the relationship between the lender and the borrower, and we are concerned. Chazal were concerned that prolonged amount of time with the non-Jew in a relationship with the non-Jew, albeit a financial relationship, could have a negative impact on the Jew. So the Gemara said, the Chivan, the Talmud Chacham, who therefore again, the rabbis normally said that for a regular person, you can't charge interest to a non-Jew because we're concerned that the prolonged financial relationship will lead to the Jew learning from the non-Jew's habits and behaviors. But a Talmud Chacham, lo yomol b'maisav. But a Talmud Chacham, we're not concerned. Talmud Chacham is not going to learn from the behaviors of a non-Jew. And therefore, again, he is permitted to lend the non-Jew with interest. So very interesting this interest. So now, by the way, everything comes full circle. Why would the rabbi say that you can't lend the non-Jew interest? So now, with interest. So now I understand why. Interest prolongs the relationship between lender and borrower. We are concerned that when the borrower is a non-Jew, then halacha lemaisa, the prolonged relationship could lead to the Jew learning from the behaviors of the non-Jew. And therefore, we don't want that. Again, we have a concept. You know, so often in life, we think that we're not influenced by the things that happen around us, that we could, you know, be around people who speak a certain way, behave a certain way, but yet we could still maintain our own moral code of conduct. And while that is true to a certain degree, we are influenced by every single exposure. We are influenced by every single person with whom we keep company. And therefore, Chazal were concerned. Chazal understood that there has to be a distinction between Am Yisrael and the rest of the nations. So on one hand, we're obligated to be part of the world, and we're obligated to make a difference in the world, and we're obligated to have a positive impact, and to be Mekadesh Yerushalayim, to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet, we are also mandated to keep our distance. We're also mandated to ensure that the influences of the outside world do not seep into the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael. Incredible Gemara. Ika demasni laha de Rav Huna, aha. Others brought down the statement of Rav Huna on the following idea. The Tani Rav Yosef is a beautiful Gemara. Im kesef talva es ami. So the pasuk says, if you will lend money to my nation, es ha'ani imach, to the poor person who is with you. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? So the Gemara is going to dash in this entire pasuk. So part number one is, if you will lend money to my nation. That's number one. Esa ani imach, to the poor person who is with you. What does that mean? Ami v'nachri, ami kodim. So first of all, the pasuk is coming to create a hierarchy in tzedakah, in loans, in just financial care. So when I have a limited amount of resources and there's a need for the Jewish people and the nations of the world, the needs of the Jewish people come first. So ami v'nachri, if there's a choice between helping a Jew and a non-Jew, I have an obligation, a moral obligation, to help the Jew first. Ani v'ashir, if, again, in front of me, there's someone who needs a loan. One person is poor, one person is wealthy. Now, again, the wealthy person may also need the loan in order to help with his finances. Ani kodem, I give the loan to the ani, or the tzedakah to the ani first. Aniyecha v'aniye ircha, aniyecha kodmin. Let's say a person has poor relatives, and there's also a need in my community. There are poor people in my community. Who takes precedence? Your relatives takes precedence over other paupers. Aniye ercha v'aniye iracheres. What happens if there are poor people in your city and poor people in another city? Aniye ircha kodem. Kodmin, excuse me. The paupers, the poor of your city, take precedence over the poor of any other city. Amar Mar. Samar said, Ami v'nachri, ami kodem. So again, we'll say, so before we get into this, it's actually very important because it's created a hierarchy. The context of the pasuk is loans, but it's really created a hierarchy in terms of general tzedakah. So again, first I have an obligation to support Klal Yisrael. After Klal Yisrael, again, my relatives over anyone else. After my relatives, the poor of my city, my local poor, before anyone else after that. Incredible. So the Gemara says, so the first rush we made was that if there's a choice, right, I only have enough funds to help one person, there's a Jew and a non-Jew, an obligation to take care of the Jew. The Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? Amra Nachman, amra lihuna, lo nitzrucha dafilo l'nachri beribis, uli Yisrael b'chinam. You might have thought like this. Let's say I have a limited amount of money. I have the ability to make one loan. So in front of me, there's a Jew and there's a non-Jew. But here's the difference. The non-Jew is going to pay interest and the Jew is not. I might have thought that I would have the right to therefore give precedence to the non-Jew since it's a financial benefit to me. Kamash malon, no. Even in that case, I have to give precedence to the Jew. Incredible. Tanya. Amar Rav Yossi. And I will say, you know, I think one of the interesting things is that we know that in Hilchos Tzedakah, there is a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy. So I think the way it often works in tzedakah is that when a person makes themselves into a giver, then a person suddenly realizes that they have so much more to give than they ever realized before. You know, there's the famous Maaser Rabbi Nachman when he was a young child. I've mentioned this a number of times. Rabbi Nachman, he was a young child, so his mother would give him, we'll call it like a dollar. Obviously, it wasn't a dollar, whatever, it was a kopek, a ruble, whatever it was. Right? Give him a dollar. And he would go to the pushka, he would get 100 pennies. And he would give one penny at a time. And every penny, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. One after the other, after the other. Because Rabbi Nachman understood that there's a big difference between an act of giving a dollar versus an act of giving 100 pennies. Even though quantitatively, at the end of the day, it's the same amount, but one is one act of giving, and one is 100 acts of giving. What's the distinction? One act of giving is a beautiful mitzvah, but it doesn't necessarily make you into a giver. 100 acts of giving makes you into a giver. The more we give, and the more we do, and the more we habituate ourselves to becoming charitable people, again, obviously all of us we have limited funds, we have limited abilities, but the goal is to condition yourself to become a giver, right? To give, even if it's a little to a lot, but to condition yourself to give, something amazing happens. That once I condition myself to become a giver, I recognize that I have a lot more to give than I had recognized or understood beforehand. Suddenly again, the hierarchies aren't as necessary because maybe there's actually enough to go around. Anyway, then the Gemara goes weiter. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says as follows, Bo re'e samyos eneim shal malavi beribis. See how blinded people who lend with interest are. They're literally blinded by their greed. Adam kar lechaver rasha, yoreit imo lechayiv. You know, if Reuven calls Shimon a rasha, so there's recourse for that. You know, we say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's not true. You call someone a rasha, so there's recourse. So literally, yoreit imo lechayiv. Satosis has a discussion over here. Satosis quotes Rabbi Tzadik Gaon. who says that halacha lemaisa is even allowed to destroy a person's property if they call you a rasha. So Tosa says, I don't think that's correct. But on a most basic level, it could mean that you can go into financial competition with him. The point is there's recourse. You call someone a rasha. Reuven calls Shimon a rasha. Shimon has recourse against Reuven. That's how bad it is to call someone a rasha. The Gemara says, yet, v'heim, heim means those who lend with interest, mevi'en edim v'lav lar v'kumos v'dayo, yet watch this, Reuven lends Shimon with interest. So here, what does Reuven do? He gets a soul for a scribe because he got to write out the document. He buys parchment. He gets a quill. He gets ink. All of this money spent. And what happens? The chosman and witnesses to sign Ploni Zek Kafra Belokeisol. And what does the document essentially say? That Reuven has been a kofar. Literally, Reuven goes ahead and negates the existence of God. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here, Rabbi Yossi is saying, is the irony. Right? If you call someone a rasha, that's a terrible trespass, and there's recourse for that. Yet when someone lends interest, it's almost as if they're codifying and memorializing their rishos, their inappropriate behavior. They're literally taking the inappropriateness and they're putting in a document, and they're paying a sofer, and they're getting a quill and an ink and edim. And essentially, what does the shtar say? What does the document say? That Reuven is a rasha. Why is he a rasha? Because he went ahead and he lent with interest. And in fact, Imar takes it even a step further. That when a person lends with interest, it's as if he denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Chavri, you'll ask yourself, why so severe? It's a pretty severe statement. I understand. You want to tell me you're not allowed to lend with interest? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can't lend with interest. That's all. Shem said you can't do it. You did it. That's an Aveira. It's an Aveira. But to say that if you lend with interest, it's as if you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the pshat? So remember, the Ribon Shel Olam told us not to lend with interest. So whatever the reason is, or it's not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us not to do it. So if a Yid believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls my finances, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls my monetary success, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the outcome of my financial endeavor, so therefore, if Hashem tells me not to do something, not to lend with interest, I'm going to listen, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control anyway. So I might as well listen to him because he controls the outcome. And if I believe that he controls the outcome, then I know that lending with interest, which is against the will of God, is not going to produce financial benefits. So yet, if a person nevertheless does so, if a person knows, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't lend with interest, and yet I go and lend with interest, there's only one way to explain that behavior. I don't believe in Hashem. I know it's dramatic. But I don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because again, if I did believe, then I would know that God controls my finances, God controls the financial outcome of my transactions, and if he tells me not to lend with interest, no benefit is going to come from lending with interest. So therefore, if I defy all of that, if I negate all of that, ignore all of that, there can only be one understanding, which is, I don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That deep down, I don't really believe in the Ribono Shel Olam. Overwhelming. Overwhelming Gemara. Which, by the way, just in the positive way, just the hashkafa of it, that really such a beautiful idea that the Ribono Shel Olam controls everything. And covered, like, the more we could instill that within ourselves, the better life becomes. So suddenly, again, the business deals become a little bit less stressful. Not totally unstressful, a little bit less stressful. When I know that is the Ribono Shel Olam in the driver's seat. And in general, life becomes, really does, become a little bit less stressful when you believe with all of your heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. If I believe that Hashem is in control, and that He has my best interest in mind, and that He loves me, and that He's going to take care of me, so suddenly again, there's a little bit of a load that's lifted off my shoulders and I can breathe a little bit easier. I don't know how things are going to turn out. You're right. I don't know how things are going to turn out. But I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has my back. Incredible. Let's go back to Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Komi Shiyesh Lo Ma'os Umalava Osam Shelo Beribis. Listen to this. So now, we see this in the positive. Anyone who has money and lends it to another Yid without interest, Alava Kasav Omer, about such a person, the Pasuk says, Kaspo Lo Nasan Beneshach, he has not given his money with interest, V'shochad Anaki Lo Lakach, he's never taken a bribe to tilt judgment against the innocent, Oseela lo yimot liolam. A person like this will never falter. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, a dramatic pasuk, that a person who has money, lends without interest, will never falter forever. Incredible. Ivy Gemara says, Halamarta, Shekalamalve beribis nechasem mismotetin. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, remember, you see two things. Number one, you see that a person who doesn't lend with interest, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to safeguard his financial interests. Number two, a person who does lend with interest, unfortunately, is going to see his assets diminish. The Gemara says, Vaha kachazina delo masi beribis tikamis motetin. But here's the problem. And this is always a problem with the Gemara's like this. The Gemara says, what do you do with the fact that we see people who don't lend with interest? We see people who are honest, yet with all of that honesty, with all of that integrity, they still suffer financially. So how do you explain that? How do you explain that, right? The Gemara is so beautiful. Don't lend with interest. Listen to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're going to see success. Lend with interest and you're not going to see success. I frek the Gemara. There are so many people who don't lend with interest. So many good Jews. They do the right thing, yet they financially suffer. So how do you explain that? So the Gemara says, Amar Lozer, Halalo mispotetin ba'olin, v'halalo mispotetin ve'in ma'olin. Everyone struggles financially. Right? The Gemara says that poverty is a gal ha-miskagel, it's a wheel that turns. Everyone suffers financially at some point. The difference is like this. Honest people with financial integrity who don't lend with interest and abide by the word of God, they will rebound. They will rebound. But those ultimately, again, who choose to defy the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do not subscribe to the financial morality of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Torah, so when they struggle and when they fall, when they fail, they will not rebound. They will not rebound. So I will say, what an incredible, just the profound hashkafa in this, not just for loans, but for Yiddishkeit in general. What the Gemara is essentially asking is, we see so many examples of people who do the right thing, and yet at the end of the day, they still suffer, right? Tzadik v'ralo, bad things happen to good people. So many people are careful not to lend with interest, yet despite all of that, they still suffer financially. So how do you explain that? Twitch the Gemara says, right, they suffer, but they rebound. They come out on top. So what the Gemara is saying is like this, is that Yiddishkeit is all about the long game. And what we believe with all of our hearts and all of our soul is that if you do the right thing, at the end of the day, everything will work out. It may take time. Sometimes it's days, weeks, months, years, and sometimes it's generations. But at the end of the day, those who do the right thing will always come out on top. Even if they suffer a decline now, at the end of the day, they will rebound. They will come back from these setbacks. And I will say, this is what gives us the chizik. This is what gives us the chizik in the contemporary situation in which we are, where we know we are on the side of right. We know we are on the side of good. Yet it hurts so much that when it feels like the world is against us, we take a deep breath. Bava Metzia, Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. Sometimes in life there are setbacks, but if you know you're doing the right thing, you will come out on top. It is true financially, it's true spiritually, and it's true morally and ethically. Chevra, we hold the moral high ground. And even if we're pushed down a little bit, at the end of the day, because we adhere to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we maintain that moral high ground, we, Klal Yisrael, will come out on top. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says as follows. Rabbi says, get a little bit vayter over here. So, Ger Tzedek Amar Le'inyan Mechira, the Ger Toshav Amar Le'inyan Ribbis Eni Yodea Mahum. So, Rabbi says the following. The Torah mentions a Ger Tzedek. Now, normally, Ger Tzedek means a convert, just a regular convert. So, it says Ger Tzedek by Mechira, by a Jew who sells themselves into servitude. And it says Ger Toshav. Now, normally Ger Toshav means a Gentile who has essentially repudiated idolatry and observes the seven Noahide laws, the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So Rebbe says, it says Ger Tzedek by a person who sells himself as a slave. And it says Ger Toshav by Ribbis. But Eni Odea Mahu, not sure what Ger Tzedek and what Ger Toshav means in these respective contexts. How so? So Ger Tzedek, Amar Le'inyan Mechira. So Ger Tzedek is written when it comes to a Jew who sells himself as a slave. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, V'chi yamoch achi cha'imach, if your brother will become downtrodden, right? Your brother will become financially destitute. V'nim kalach, and he will be sold. In other words, we're talking about someone, a Jew, who is sold as an Eved Ivri, a Jewish servant. So the Gemara says, V'lo lach, Ela Lager. Now, who does Lach mean? Lach means to the Ger. Shene Emar, Lager, to the Ger. Somewhere says, V'lo Lager Tzadek, it's not talking about a Ger Tzadek, Ela Lager Toshav. Rather, it's talking about a Ger Toshav, which we're both saying, remember, is a non-Jew who has repudiated idolatry and observes the seven Noahide laws. So Gemara says, Shenemar, Leger Toshav, Mishpachas Ger. What does Mishpachas Ger refer to? Zeha Nochri. This refers to a Gentile. Kishu Omer O Le'akar. And when it says ultimately Le'akar, that refers Zeha Nimkar Ve'avodas Kochavim Atzma. That refers to a Jew who is sold, ultimately, again, even to idolatry. Now, Rashi points out over here, what does it mean a Jew is sold to idolatry? It means a Jew who is sold to idolatry. In other words, he cuts the wood for the idolatrous service. In other words, he's not sold to the idol, but rather he's sold into servitude for the Avodah Zarah. So amazingly enough, what we see is this possibility for a Jew to be sold as a servant, either again, to the Ger Tzedek. Well, Ger Tzedek is a regular Jew. Ger Toshav, who's the Gentile, or maybe even again to the Nochri, to a non-Jew, or regular non-Jew, or maybe even to Avodah Zarah. So Mar says, Omar, Velo Lecha Ela Leger, Shene Emar Leger, Lememra de Ger Kani Evedivri. Now, Bosa, you're telling me now that a Ger is able to go ahead and acquire an Evedivri? So the Gemara says, Ramini, is that true? Now, Bosa, now here by Pashtos, when we talk about a Ger, we even mean a convert, a regular convert. Is a convert able to acquire an Evedivri? After all, Ramini, Ein a Ger nikna be Evedivri, Vein Isha ve Ger Konin Evedivri. A Ger cannot be a convert, cannot be acquired as a Jewish servant, nor can a woman nor a ger acquire a Jewish servant. So the Gemara says, ger lo nikna be'evedivri. Why can't the ger be acquired as an evedivri? So the Gemara says, v'shav al mishpach toba inon. Because the pasuk says that upon emancipation, the eved goes back to his family. The eved goes back to his family. And ultimately, again, v'haleka, the ger doesn't have a family. Because we're assuming over here, right? When a ger converts, he's a brand new person without his prior family. As such, he doesn't have a family to go back to. So because of that, halacha lemaisa, he's not acquired as an eved. Furthermore, ve'ein isha v'ger konen eved ivri, and neither a woman nor a ger could acquire an eved ivri. Why not? Isha lav orach ara. So both say by an isha, we're concerned that ultimately, again, it's inappropriate. Now, why is it inappropriate? Since a servant is there to serve you. So if a woman acquires an Eved Ivri, they're going to end up being alone a lot of time together. And that could yield, or that can at least create the appearance of inappropriateness. Ger Nami Gemiri. So why can't the Ger acquire an Eved Ivri? So the Gemara says, Ger Nami Gemiri de Makni Kani de Lo Makni Lo Kani. Because also we understand that he who can become an Eved Ivri ultimately can acquire an Eved Ivri. But he who cannot become an Eved Ivri cannot acquire an Eved Ivri. Therefore, a ger who cannot acquire an Eved Ivri, because remember, a ger who cannot become an Eved Ivri, because as we said, b'shavel mishpachto, when you go free, you have to go back to your family. A ger doesn't have a family. Therefore, halacha lemaisa can't acquire an Eved Ivri. Very interesting halacha. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, so eino kona v'dino ki Yisrael, aval kona v'dino ki Nochri. So the Gemara says, no. A ger, when we say a ger can't acquire, when we say that a ger can't acquire an Eved Ivri, what it means is he can't acquire an Eved Ivri as a Jew would acquire an Eved Ivri, but can acquire an Eved Ivri as a Gentile would acquire an Eved Ivri. The Gemara says, what does that mean? The Sanyon, very interesting halacha, ha-nirtza v'nimkar l'nachri. We'll say if you have an Eved who was nirtza, nirtza means his ear was pierced, right? He wanted to stay on past the 7 years, or nimkar l'nachri, or for that matter, again, someone who was sold to a Gentile, eino obed lo asaben v'lo asaba. So we'll say, so the halacha is that, interestingly enough, if you are a pierced Eved, or for that matter, again, an Eved who was sold to a Nochri, the halacha is that if the master dies, you did not get passed down to the children. Rather, again, you are emancipated. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting that maybe a Ger essentially has the same halachos of Eved Ivri purchase as a Gentile does. Okay. Amar, ve'ina isha v'ger konin Eved Ivri. So we said before that neither a woman nor a ger have the ability to acquire an Eved Ivri. So Mar says, Neiman de lo k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. This must not be reflective of the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel. What does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Disanya, isha kona es ha-shvachos ve'ina kona es ha-avadim. A woman could acquire maid servants, but really cannot acquire a Jewish servant. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, af kona es ha-avadim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, she could even acquire male servants. So obviously, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that a woman can acquire avodim. So what's going on over here? The Rishon Gemara says, no. If you look at Rav Shimon Gamliel, v'lo kashya, kan be'eved ivri, kan be'eved kenani. So the Gemara suggests as follows. The distinction ultimately is, one is talking about a case of where she is acquiring an eved ivri, and one is where she's acquiring an eved kenani, a Jewish servant versus a non-Jewish servant. Where lies the distinction? Eved ivri tsiniyale, eved kenani paritzle. an Eved Ivri, we're concerned that she may be tempted to do something inappropriate with the Eved Ivri. Why? Because the Eved Ivri is Tsanua. So therefore, even if she sins with him, even if they sin together, he's not going to say anything. The Eved Kenani has absolutely no problem running his mouth about his immoral exploits. And therefore, again, she's not going to sin with him because she doesn't want to suffer the embarrassment. So that's why the Gemara says she can't purchase an Eved Ivri because we're concerned that they may be tempted to sin together and they'll both have proper discretion, right? And that would tempt them to sin even more because they're going to keep the secret for each other. But Eved Kenani, you know, he's not going to keep any secrets. Therefore, she's not going to sin with him. Therefore, we have no problem with her buying one. We learned that an almana, right, a widow should not raise a dog. This is an interesting halacha, which we have to discuss a little bit more. But the concern over here is bestiality. Now we'll clarify. Hold on. We're going to clarify this. Just All right, we're going to clarify that in just a moment. The Gemara says as follows. Furthermore, she should not have a Talmud Chacham, rabbinical student, living in her home. Now, the Talmud Chacham living in her home is we're concerned about impropriety. So, Bishlom Barbe Rav Tzniela. So, I understand why you don't want her to have a Torah student living in her home. Why? Because they may be tempted to sin together, but they're both going to keep the secrets, right? Because no one wants to be embarrassed. Ela kalba, but when it comes to a dog, kevan din masrich ba mirsisa. Here's the difference. I guess the Gemara assumes that once a person commits an act of bestiality with the animal clings to the person a lot. So people are going to see that and going to be like, something happened over here. So therefore, she's not going to come to sin with the animal because lamaisa again, and she's going to be publicly shamed. They're both saying, the Gemara is highlighting the motif that in general, people sin. This is all of us. We all sin as long as the sin can remain private. The moment that the Avera has the ability to become public, 9 out of 10 times, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it just because I don't want the public shaming of it. So therefore, to sin with a Talmud Chacham, or a Torah student, she may be tempted to do so. They may be, it's not just her, they may be tempted to do so because they'll keep each other's secrets. But the dog, bestiality, if that happens, chas v'shalom, craziness, the dog's going to be following her around everywhere. People are going to say, hey, that's a little bit strange. Amri, kevan dechi, I'm not even making any dog comments now. Amri, kevan dechi, shajile umsa, masrich basra, Amri inshi mishum umsa deshanjide hu de misrach. The Gemara says, well, 1 second. The truth is, the dog will follow you around, not just for bestiality. Feed it, and it'll follow you. See, even if people see the dog following her around, they're not going to jump to the conclusion that there was bestiality of Yerchas HaShalom. But rather, again, they could just as easily suppose that she's been feeding the dog. So because she's feeding the dog, that's why it's following her everywhere. Incredible. So we'll say, that's the case of Ger Tzedek that's the section of Ger Tzedek by a person who sells himself as an Eved Ivri. I, the Gemara says, Ger Toshav Amar Le'inyan Ribis Mahi. But what's the case of the Ger Toshav who's mentioned by Ribis? So the Pasuk says, when your brother will become downtrodden and he will extend his hand to you, hold on to him. Which means we'll say, the whole Yisod HaChazaktabo means don't wait till someone falls down to pick them up. But rather, when you see that someone's struggling, extend your hand and grab them there. Because it is so much easier to keep someone standing while they're still on their feet than picking them up once they've fallen down. So the Gemara says, which also teaches us how attentive and just sensitive we have to be to the struggles of each other. So the Gemara says, Ger Toshav, so to a Ger, right? A Ger Vitoshav, a Ger and a Toshav. V'chai imach, and ultimately again they will live with you. Al tikach mi'ito neshech v'tarbis, don't take from them interest. V'yareisa me'elokecha, and you shall fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, v'chai achicha imach. So therefore the pasuk says, right? V'chai achicha imach. So the Gemara says, v'chai, that's the end of the pasuk. V'chai, and your brother will live with you. And I was saying, now here's what's interesting. What's interesting is it sounds like, right, the pasuk saying that ultimately, again, if your brother is destitute and he's in trouble, hechazaktabo, go ahead, help him out, loan him money, and don't charge him interest. And who else is thrown into the pasuk? The ger and the toshav. Now, bipashtos, the ger is the convert, the ger tzadik, a Jew. Toshav, bipashtos means a ger toshav, who's a non-Jew. So it sounds like the pasuk is saying you can't lend a non-Jew with interest. Aye, says the gemara or minu, lovin mehenim ulavin osim beridis. The Mishnah said, I'm 70B, top of 70B. The Mishnah said, you're allowed to lend a non-Jew with interest. So what's going on over here? to which the Gemara says, Amra Machan Bar Yitzchak, Miksiv Al Tikach Me'itam. Does the pasuk say you shouldn't take interest from them? It doesn't say them plural. Rather, Me'itoksiv. Says, don't take interest from him. Who's the him? Mi'Yisrael. Ultimately, again, from the Jew. So we'll say, essentially what the pasuk is saying is two different things. The pasuk is saying that there's an obligation if you see someone in your midst, whether he's a Jew, or whether he's a ger, a convert, or whether he's a toshav, a ger toshav, a Gentile, who has repudiated idolatry and observes Shemus and observes Shemus as B'nai Noach, if he's struggling, help him. But the prohibition against interest, that only applies to another Jew, right? That's altikach me'ito. Don't take from them interest. Don't take from him. Who's the him? Your fellow Jew. Don't take from your brother, from the Jew interest. But you can go ahead and say, I now from base 71b, but you could become his guarantor. So the Gemara says, okay, what is this? Leman. The Gemara says, Arev Leman. So we'll say, who are you becoming a guarantor for? So watch this. Ilema Arev Li Yisrael. If ultimately, again, you're becoming a guarantor for a Jew, Vahatana Elu Over. So we'll say, so now if you're telling me that a Jew, right, is borrowing with interest from another Jew, right? Reuven lent Shimon money on interest, and now I'm the guarantor for Shimon. So the Gemara says, here's the problem with that. And we're going to get to this in Mirat Hashem. Here's the problem. Elu Ovrin below Sasa. Both say, in an interest transaction, the following people are in violation. Malve, the lender, Lobe, the borrower, Ha'arev, the guarantor, Va'edim, and the witness is the sign of the document. So I can't guarantee an interest-bearing loan for another Jew. In other words, if Reuven lends Shimon money with interest, I can't guarantee that for Shimon, because then I'm involved in the interest transaction that's prohibited. So what's the case of me being a guarantor? Ella lenachri. So we'll say, rather, this is very interesting. Rather, it must be that I'm guaranteeing an interest loan for a Gentile. The chivan de dine de nachri, the azl basar arva, ihu nihu de kashakal mine rabisa. Now we'll say, this is very interesting. So apparently, One of the ways in which Jewish law differs from non-Jewish law, at least in times of the Gemara, is that by us, a guarantor is only, you can only go to a guarantor after you've gone to the borrower and the borrower can't pay. Apparently, again, in Gentile law, at least in times of the Gemara, you could go, if you're the lender, you can go right to the guarantor. Essentially, the guarantor is in the same position as the borrower. So if I, as the lender, want to go to the guarantor and just totally sidestep and bypass the borrower, I have the ability to do so. Very interesting. Amar Rav Sheshes, what's the case? Shekibel alav ladun b'dinei Yisrael. No, the case over here, I'm sorry, let me read it. El nachri. V'cheivan d'dina d'nachri d'azol basar arva, ihu niyu d'kashak min erbisa. But here's the problem. If we're talking about over here that there's a Gentile, that there's a Gentile lending, right, then lemaisa, or for that matter, again, if I say it differently, if I'm guaranteeing for the Gentile, right, so Reuven lent Gentile money, and I'm guaranteeing for Gentile. Since in non-Jewish law, the lender has the ability to go right to the guarantor. So once again, I'm a party to an. So essentially, I become like the borrower. If that's the case, then this is a ribis transaction between Jews. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Sheshes says Shekibel Alav Lidom B'dinei Yisrael." No. The case over here is where the parties agreed ultimately again to deal with this loan in accordance with halacha. So Gemara says, "Iki ba'alav ladum din Yisrael ribis nami lo lishkahu." 1 second. If you're talking about a transaction that is set up in accordance with halacha, then there shouldn't be ribis altogether, right? Ribis is prohibited by halacha. So what's going on over here? Amar Rav Sheshes sheki ba'alav lazu velo ki ba'alav lazu. So Rabbi said, this is very interesting. So Rashi says, first of all, haniu deshakal ribis arev ze halove me'anachri v'chozer v'hilve liYisrael. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, so here's what's interesting. So apparently, they took upon themselves in this transaction to conduct themselves in accordance with halacha when it comes to not going to the guarantor first, right? So we're going to go to the borrower first, not to the guarantor. When it came to interest, so that we were going in accordance with the halachos of the general society where charging interest is permitted. I will say, you should just know it's interesting to see what is the Gemara essentially saying, that it's human nature to pick and choose. So we all do it. There are areas of Yiddishkeit in which I am proficient, in which I am diligent, in which I am responsible, and then there are other areas where I am just a train wreck. But I know what I have to do. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, consciously, subconsciously, we pick and choose. But say, you know, sometimes in life, not sometimes in life, all the time in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never asks for perfection. He just asks for honesty. So as long as I'm honest and I say, you know what? I'm picking and choosing. See, what often ends up happening is when we pick and choose, I don't really want to admit that I'm picking and choosing. So instead, what do? I don't do this. You know what? It's not my hashkafa, or it's not my this, or I'm modern, I'm Haredi, I'm Sioni, I'm the Turi Karta. I don't know, whatever, like hashkafa I like to append it to my identity to justify not doing something. When instead it's just so much easier to say, you know what? I'm not doing something. I'm actually not doing a lot of things. And the truth is not only that, I'm actually doing a lot of things wrong. I'm doing a lot of things right and well as well. I'm doing a lot of stuff wrong, and there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm not doing at all. Just own it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, great. Thank you for the honesty. And as long as you're trying to be a little bit better each and every day, that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. But we spend so much time picking and choosing and then justifying why I'm not doing this. Instead, just own it. I'm not doing it. You know, I'm a human being. I'm frail. I'm imperfect. I'm trying to be better, but I'm not yet where I need to get to. That level of honesty is all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us, or looking to us for. That's all he's looking for. That sense of relationship honesty. If there's honesty, then I mean that's something we can build forward. Let's go right there. So Malvi Yisrama Osov Shal Nachri Medas Hanachri. So let's do a little bit more. So the Gemara says that the halacha is that a Jew is permitted to, now literally translated, a Jew is permitted to go ahead and lend the money of a Gentile with the knowledge or the consent of the Gentile, the Nachri. So Gemara says, what's going on over here? Tan Rabbanan. Malvi Yisrama Osov Shal Nachri Midas Hanachri Avalo Midas Yisrael. A Jew can lend the money of a Nachri, of a Gentile, with interest, as long as it's with the knowledge of the Gentile, but can't do so in a similar transaction with the knowledge of a Jew. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ketzad. Here we go. Very interesting case. So watch this. Reuven borrowed money from the Nachri. Reuven borrowed $5,000 from Nachri. Okay. Now what happens? Ribbis. So he borrowed $5,000 and he's going to pay back Nachri $6,000. Ubikesh lachziram. And now ultimately again, Reuven is getting ready to pay back the loan. And what happens? Matsu Yisrael acher v'amr lo t'nemli v'ani ela l'cha k'derach sha'ata ma'lelo. So what happens? So Shimon comes along and Shimon says like this, hey Reuven, I have a good idea. Give me the money, and I'll give you whatever interest that you owe to Reuven. In other words, so instead of paying Reuven back, you were going to pay Reuven back now, and therefore X amount of interest accrued. Instead, give me the money. I want to use the money, and I'll take on the interest debt. So the interest is going to keep on accruing. I'll go ahead, and I'll just give you the extra interest, and then you could pay back the complete debt, including the extra interest that I ran up, that I accrued, ultimately again to Nachri. The Gemara says, Usser, you are not allowed to do that. Now, Bosei Rashi says, why? Because Bosei, that's viewed, essentially, as Reuven lending money to Shimon with Ribbis. The fact that Reuven is going to take it afterwards and give it back to Nachri doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, Reuven is giving Shimon $6,000, right? Which was the amount, which was principal of $5,000, $1,000 of interest that Reuven had accrued. Now Shimon says, give it to me, let me keep it for another year, and I'll give you back $7,000. The Gemara says, and again, even though it's clear, Reuven's giving that money to Nachri, but at the end of the day, that's interest, and it's viewed as an interest loan from Reuven to Shimon, and therefore it is aser. However, again, if Reuven introduces Shimon to Nachri, then it's mutter. Then the transaction is going to be mutter. Now, what's the pshat? Rashi says over here, v'imhemidu eitzel Nachri, afa pishe Yisrael nosen lechaver b'misas Nachri, mutter d'shluchohu. See, Rabosei, here's what's interesting. But in the same transaction, right? So Nachri lent Reuven $5,000. Reuven is obligated to pay back $6,000, $5,000 principal, $1,000 interest. He's about to go ahead and pay back. Shimon says, Reuven, give me the money and I'll pay for whatever additional interest accrues. So normally, again, if this is just a transaction between Reuven and Shimon, it's absolutely aser, it's ribbis. If Reuven introduces Shimon to Nachri, oh, everything changes, because now Reuven is simply, because Shimon has a relationship with Nachri, therefore Reuven is viewed as the shaliach of Nachri, and therefore again, there is no ribbis issue over here. Fascinating. Now the opposite case is also interesting. V'chein, Nachri shalava ma'os mi'Yisrael. What happens if Reuven lent $5,000 to Nachri. Remember again, the halacha is you're allowed to charge interest to a non-Jew. So Reuven lends $5,000 to Nachri with the agreement that Nachri is going to pay him back $6,000. Okay, so what happens? So now Nachri is getting ready to pay back $6,000. So Matzi Yisrael Acher, Shimon comes to Nachri and he says, Nachri va'amar lo, t'namely, v'ani ela l'cha k'derech sh'ata ma'ale lo. And what happens? So now Shimon says to Nachri, don't pay back Reuven. Give me the money. And again, whatever additional interest accrues, I'll give back to you and you'll give it back to Reuven. What's the halacha? Mutter. Now we'll say this is mutter. Now remember again, they're opposite cases. Why is this mutter? Because since Reuven and Shimon have no connection with each other, therefore again, this is considered to be an interest-bearing loan from Nachri to Shimon, which is totally permitted. However, but if Nachri says, great, sounds fantastic, let me introduce you to my lender, Reuven, and he introduces Shimon to Reuven, now it's over. Because now since Reuven and Shimon have a relationship, they met each other, then I will say the problem is this becomes an interest-bearing transaction between Jews. Incredible. So Bishlam Sefer L'Chumra. So I understand in the second case that it goes the Chumra, El Reisha, Kevan de Ein Shlichos the Nachri. But I will say in the Reisha, there's no concept, we're going to get into this, but there is no concept of Shlichos for a Nachri. Now as well say, Shlichos is a din by Jews. It's a din by Jews. There is no shlichos by a non-Jew. Ihu nihu tekashakol minere bisa. So because there's no shlichos by a nachri, so I don't understand. This should be, in other words, we'll say, even if you want to say, in the first case, right, in 1B or 1A, where Reuven introduced Shimon to Nachri, to the lender. So we said, oh, that's fine, because it's just viewed as Reuven being the shaliach of Nachri, and therefore when Shimon pays back the interest, he's really paying it back to Reuven, who's the shaliach of the Nachri. So therefore, this is a transaction between a Jew and a non-Jew. One second, there's no shlichos for a Nachri. Again, we'll see where this concept comes from, but the Gemara is suggesting there is no concept of shlichos. There's no agency by a Gentile. The concept of agency is between Jews. If there's no shlichos by a Nachri, then this is a transaction between Reuven and Shimon, and it's a Rebbe's transaction. What's the case? So this is very interesting. Now, what's the case over here? The case over here, if we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, that ultimately, again, the Nachri lender, says to the Jew, put the money down. So what happens? So now, right, remember, Nachri lent Reuven $5,000 to be paid back $6,000, principal plus interest. Reuven has the money. He's ready to pay it back to Nachri. Shimon comes along, give me the money. Whatever additional interest accrues, I'll go ahead and I'll pay to you and you'll give it back to Nachri. The problem is, we're saying now, so originally we thought that, and now originally, again, assuming that Reuven introduces Shimon to Nachri, we thought it should be fine, because halach l'maisa, Reuven is then acting in the capacity of the shaliach, of the agent for Nachri. Now the Gemara says, but there's no shlichos by a Nachri. Now, we don't know where that concept comes from. That's our next topic. There's no shlichos by a Nachri. So the Gemara says, so therefore it's between Reuven and Shimon. So what happens? You're right. What's the case? Reuven is about to pay back Nachri. Shimon comes along, Shimon wants the money. What does Nachri say to Reuven? Nachri says, Reuven, fine, Reuven, put down the money. Just put it down on the ground. And then Nachri says to Shimon, you take the money from here. To which the Gemara says, okay, Ihachi mai lememra. So I will say, if that's what happened, then what is there to say? Essentially, if Reuven's ready to pay back Nachri, and Nachri says to Reuven, Reuven, put down the money, and then he says, Shimon, you take the money, so then this is a transaction between Nachri and Shimon. What's the problem over here? El amra papa kigon shenatal v'nasan biyad. So I will say, what's the case over here? The case over here, ultimately, again, is when Rashi says, kigon shenatal v'nasan ha-nachri biyad, v'kibah min ha-rishon v'nasan l'sheni. The Nachri received it from Reuven, received the payment from Reuven, and gave it to Shimon. The Gemara says, again, v'akati, mai lememra. What is the problem with that? What's the problem with that? Ma'udite, what would you have thought? Nachri gufei ki avid adaiti di Yisrael kagamar v'yav. You might have thought about that maybe in that case, where ultimately, again, the Nachri receives the money back from Reuven and then gives it to Shimon, you might have thought that maybe the Nachri is acting on the behalf of Reuven. And that maybe, again, or maybe adaited the Reuven. In other words, not a shlichos idea, but that this is a loan that is still being done at the behest or on behalf of Reuven. And maybe that should be also a problem of ribis. Kamashmalon, no. Kamashmalon Abosai, that we are not worried about that. That halacha lemaisa, again, whether it's a case where Reuben is putting the money down on the ground and Shimon is taking it, or he's giving it to the Nachri, and the Nachri says, I'll give it to Shimon. Either way, once the Nachri is handling the money and Reuben essentially is out, it's not a Rebbe's problem. Abosai. So therefore, what comes out over here is something really interesting. So therefore, what this really all hinges on is the Gemara. When we were going through this case, we were operating with the idea that there is the ability for a Jew to be a shaliach for a non-Jew. That's why in the first case where Reuben, the borrower, introduces Nachri, the lender, to Shimon, the guy who wants to take the money now and build up the interest and then pay back the interest to Reuben to go back to Nachri, we thought once Reuben introduced them, they're fine, because then it's clear that when Shimon pays back the interest to Reuben, Reuben is acting as the shaliach, ultimately again, of Nachri. The Gemara now blew that up, because the Gemara said, well, it doesn't work, because there's no shlichos for our Nachri. So we'll stop over here for today, but our next topic is ultimately, again, what does that mean there's no shlichos for a Nachri? Like, where does that concept come from? Where do we learn that from? Where does that come from? So we'll say, Meretz Hashem, that's our topic for Erev Shabbos, for Friday. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person. A thank you to Maishi and to Jeremy for enabling me at least to be with you virtually. It's a great zechus, even if I can't be there with you physically. I know that we are all joined at the neshama. We all learn the same beautiful Torah together. We all learn the same daf together. What a daf it was. What an incredible daf it was. Such a zechus to go through Ezu Neshach together. Again, physically distant, but spiritually united. Chevra wishing everyone a wonderful day.